The fruit of the Spirit is the natural product of a life yielded to God's control. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell explains God's process for growing spiritual fruit in our lives.
Listen, I don't know what your trial is this morning, but I know this. God wants to work in your heart through this time. He wants to teach you something. He wants to humble you. He wants to draw you to Himself. He wants to teach you how to pray. He wants for certain scriptures to come alive in your heart. I know that God is at work, and that's why we can hope, and that's why we can have glory in tribulation.
Every believer has the capacity to bear the fruit of the Spirit. In our series, Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows, we will learn how to experience the fruit of the Spirit in our daily lives. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you want to learn how to have peace in the midst of a storm, how to keep joy when depression comes, how to practice patience through difficulty, and how to love the unloved, then this series is for you. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Joy Grows Where the Stream Flows.
I believe that every one of us can look back at trials in our lives and we can say, God had a reason for that. God brought me closer to Him through that time. And we don't often focus on the tragedy only as much as we can focus on what God is teaching us through that time. I was thinking about it this past week, and we've had, of course, four children, and man, it seems like a long time since they were babies. But I remember when the kids were born, and back at that time is when dads were being encouraged, you know, to go into the delivery room and to be there like the coach and help with the birth process and everything. And we had to go to classes for that when Danielle was going to be born, and they took into those classes. And how many of you men have ever been in one of those classes? I mean, it's scary. You go in there with several other men and their wives and they're all, you know, great with child, and they start telling you, now when you get into that room, you need to have the ice ready and you need to learn how to breathe just right and help your wife so she'll breathe. And they tell you these little techniques and how you can help your wife to breathe and the things you're supposed to say. And we were all ready, and I'd been to all the classes. I was ready to go. And I'll never forget when Danielle came, we went into that room. And I'm telling you, it was nothing like the classes they taught us. Nothing, not even remotely resembling that. And I began to try to tell my wife, all right, honey, now let's start those short breaths right now. And we'd try that, and I'd say, let's a little more now, a little more breathing now. And it inevitably, within 5 minutes of getting in that room, my sweet, tender, submissive, godly prayer warrior of a wife would look at me and say, would you just shut up? Every single time. And I remember when Matthew was born right over here at Antelope Valley Hospital. I'm telling you, I don't know who the woman was laying there giving birth to Matthew. But she began to say things that no bad words, don't misunderstand me, but she began to say things about how she couldn't, she was in so much pain and she wanted me to tell this and that to the doctor. And oh, I'm telling you, it was a tribulation for sure. Say, well, why did you go through that after having the first child? Because of the hope that we knew was coming after the tribulation, after the pain of delivery, the hope and the expectancy of a beautiful baby that we could raise into a child for the glory of God. And God wants us to realize that when we're going through those times of pain and when we're going through those times of tribulation, there is something He's going to bring from that that can be very beautiful for His honor and His glory. That's why He says in verse 2, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. God says you can have joy. Why? Because there's hope just around the corner. You can have joy because God will take this pain and He will do something very beautiful with it in your life. Not only because God is working, but we have hope, listen to this, because Jesus Christ is coming again. And so no matter what we're going through in our lives, no matter what tribulation, we know that it's not over until Jesus comes again. Now look at this, John 16, 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." Now the disciples said, "Lord, we don't want you to ascend up into heaven. We don't want you to die on a cross. We don't want you to go away from us. We want you to stay right here." And Jesus said, "You're going to have some sorrow because I'm ascending into heaven." But then he says to them in verse 22, he says, "Your heart is going to rejoice." Why? "Because I will see you again." How many of you can say with me this morning, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly"? I'm looking forward to that day when I'll see the Lord Jesus face to face. And so there is joy this morning. There is joy simply because during suffering, we can have hope in God. Secondly, there is joy not only in suffering, but there is joy in trials. There is joy in our trials. Now turn, if you would, to James chapter 1 and verse 2. James chapter 1 and verse 2. Here we see that in trials, God wants us to know that joy is available through Him. James 1, 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all," what's the next word say? "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations," or different trials. Now again, someone says, "You mean God wants me to be joyful when I get a pink slip? God wants me to be joyful when I'm going through a problem at work? God wants me to be joyful when there's a problem at home?" That's exactly what he says. Count it all joy. Why? Because we know that God is sovereign. God is at work. God has a reason for this. And we can trust in God. And it says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So God says that this process that you're going through is a process of maturity. Trials have a purpose, and trials develop maturity in our life. And so you may be going through a trial this morning, and yet God wants you to have joy in your heart because He has a purpose in that trial. So there is joy in suffering. There is joy in trials. Thirdly, there is joy in persecution. There is joy in persecution. Now you say, how can there be joy in persecution? Notice if you would in Matthew 5 and verse 10. Matthew 5, 10. It says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." What's the first word in verse 12? Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Wait a minute. Someone says, someone's reviling me because of my faith. Someone's yelling at me because I'm a Christian. Someone is persecuting me at work because I'm a Christian. And God says that I'm supposed to not only rejoice, but be exceedingly glad about this. Did you know that for those of you who have ever suffered even a little bit because you're a Christian, that probably at that time you are more like the Lord than at other times in your life? And that's why the Bible says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Now, the more the trial bothers us, then that is indicative of the fact that our view is very earthly. But the less the trial bothers us, it doesn't mean that you are not going through a proper time of grieving, or that you are not facing the reality of the problem. No. But if the problem is bothering you less, it is indicative of the fact that you're focusing more and more on heaven and less on earth. And the more we focus on heaven, then the least or the less the problems of this earth will bother us. So it says in Matthew 5:12, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So our reward is in heaven. And we recognize that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And I wondered this morning, have we come to that place where we can say, "Lord, I thank you that when I've had suffering, you've still given me joy. And when I've had trials, you've still given me joy. And when I've had persecution, you've still given me joy. Because there is joy, joy, joy down in my heart." And the Holy Spirit during those times can bring forth joy when there would not have been joy. I'm talking to you about the resilience of joy. I'm talking to you about a joy the world cannot offer. Hey, if the world is going to offer you joy with a brand new car, what are you going to do when someone smacks it? But if your joy comes from within, they can smack it all day long. They're not going to rob your joy, you see. And you'll find a person that is very wrapped up in the things of this world, they're happy when their toys are all in line and cleaned up. They're happy when their business is going great. But let the first trial come into their life and there's no happiness. Why? Because there's no joy, joy, joy down in their heart. But you see, there's a resiliency to Christian joy. And that resiliency is that during suffering and trials and persecution, God is still there and His Holy Spirit is still ministering and His eternal truth is unchanging. And so the reason for our joy is salvation and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the resiliency of our joy far surpasses the joy of this world. And then I want you to see with me this morning the revelation of our joy. The revelation of our joy. Now, what I want you to recognize here, and I'd like you to jot this little statement down, and then you'll see it with me scripturally. Joy is the byproduct of obedience. Joy is the byproduct of obedience. In simple terms, you cannot disobey the Word of God and be a happy Christian. We sometimes sing that song, "Trust and Obey." For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. The most miserable people I have ever met are Christians who know what they ought to be doing and they ain't doing it. There's no joy there. There is frustration there. Sometimes they'll see me on the street and I'll wave and say hi and just, ugh. In fact, nothing frustrates them more than a happy Christian. Because there's no joy in your heart when you're disobeying God. That's why some of you ought to come back to the Lord today. You see. Now, I want to give you this morning four ways that you can develop joy. You say, you mean you can develop this joy? Yes, you can. By obeying the Spirit of God in your life. Proverbs 16:3 is a verse that's helped me a lot, and it's in your notes. And it says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." Let's say this together. Ready, begin. Commit thy works unto the Lord. So if I will commit my works unto the Lord, then He will establish my thoughts, my heart. If I will begin to trust and obey Him, then He will bring about that joy and that happiness in my heart. It's not like I'm just going to wait for God to zap me with joy and then I'll start serving Him. No, I've got to begin doing what I know is right. And there are four ways that I believe joy can be revealed in my heart and in my life. These are four products of joy. But these are four ways to have joy and to develop joy in the Christian life. First of all, joy is revealed in our singing. It is revealed in our singing. And James chapter 5 and verse 13 says it this way. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Let him sing psalms. Another verse says it this way. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, one of the indicators of joy is that we will sing unto the Lord. And joy is revealed in our singing. You can tell oftentimes how someone is doing spiritually just by whether or not they sing at church. If someone's standing there during the song service, I mean, everyone around me, "Oh, victory in Jesus." And someone, "Houston, we have a problem." You see, when you know the Lord and you know the Spirit of God's in your heart, and someone's around you singing victory in Jesus, you're singing about victory in Jesus because you have experienced it in your life. Make a joyful noise unto your Lord. And so it's vital that we would recognize that if there's joy in our heart, we're going to want to sing. If you don't want to sing, you ought to ask yourself, why don't I want to sing today? What's wrong in my heart? A man named Joe, his wife liked to sing a lot. She had decided to join the church choir, and from time to time, she would practice singing while she made dinner there in the kitchen. And whenever she would start on a song, her husband, Joe, well, he would head out to the porch. He'd go out to the porch there. And after a while, his wife's feelings were hurt just a little bit. And she said, "What's the matter, Joe? Don't you like my singing?" Joe replied, "Honey, I love your singing. I just want to make sure that the neighbors know I'm not beating you." Now listen, it doesn't say make a beautiful song. It says make a joyful noise. And it might not be really harmonic. It might not be a sweet melody, but it ought to be a joyful noise that you're making to the Lord. You're glad you're saved. You're glad that you're on victory's side. You're thankful that you're a Christian. And you see, it is revealed in our singing, this matter of that joy that's within our heart. In fact, the Bible says it this way: out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If there's joy, joy, joy down in the heart, there's going to be a song, song, song out of the mouth. That's just the way it works, you see. When you're excited about something, maybe it's a new Harley, maybe it's a new gun, maybe it's a new girl that does your nails or whatever. When you're excited about it, you talk about it. And when you're excited about Jesus in your heart, you can't help but sing about it. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And you're just excited about the fact that Jesus loves you that much, and you're going to sing about it. It's revealed in our singing. Secondly, it's revealed in our serving. When there's joy in my heart, and when there is a right relationship with God, it is going to be revealed in my serving. Now, I have found in my life that most people wish to serve God, but in an advisory capacity. God, I would like you to know that the tithe would be better if it was a 2% tithe. I'd like you to know, God, that I'm very busy, and so that's why you'll not see me at church tonight. Or would you tell Pastor Chapel that the sermon would be better if it was 32 minutes instead of 38 minutes? Some of you are saying, 38, keep dreaming, Pastor. We've never had a 38-minute sermon. Most of us want to serve God in an advisory capacity. But the fact of the matter is that when you have that joy in your heart, and if you want that joy to be developed in your heart, then I encourage you to sing to the Lord, and I encourage you to serve the Lord, and let Him establish your thoughts as you serve Him. Acts 20:24, Paul the Apostle says to the Ephesian pastors, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with what?" He didn't want to just finish his course. He wanted to finish his course with joy. Oh, how I pray that when Jesus comes again, you'll still be faithful in church. You'll still be faithful singing these songs. You'll still be serving God, with joy serving God. That's what Paul said. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. He said, God's done a work in my heart, and I want that work to be evidenced by the song that I sing and by the life that I live serving my God. Then it is revealed, thirdly, in our soul winning. Someone that has joy in their heart, it's going to be revealed in their soul winning. Soul winning is a term we use. It is synonymous. It's a Bible term. The Bible says, "He that winneth souls is wise." It is synonymous with witnessing or evangelism, whatever you want to call it. Just do it. Soul winning is where you're telling others about Jesus Christ, where you're bringing others to church, where you're telling others that you're a Christian and what that means to you. Psalm 126 and verse 5 is in your notes. It says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in what?" Here it is again. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Philippians 4:1, Paul the Apostle said, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, stand fast in the Lord." Do you know the greatest times of joy in my heart at this church are not when buildings have been built, not when we've been able to start some new Sunday school program. The greatest times of joy in my heart have been when people have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And when you pray, and when sometimes you weep in tears, and you ask God to touch someone's life, and then you go to their home and you tell them what Jesus did, and how He shed His blood on the cross, and how He rose up again on the third day, and how that if they would pray and trust Christ as their Savior, and when they pray that prayer to receive Christ as their Savior, there is nothing like the joy that comes into the heart of a soul winner at that very moment. You sow in tears, you reap in joy. And I've known even those in ministry who lacked a little joy in their life, and it was indicative of the fact they hadn't led someone to Christ in months and years. But I'm going to tell you something. When you have the privilege of leading someone to Christ, that joy comes flooding back into your heart. And I can look out across this auditorium this morning and see several folks that God's allowed me to lead to Christ personally. I got to tell you what, it brings great joy to my heart to know that people are coming to the Lord. There is joy in singing. There is joy in serving. There is joy in soul winning. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. There is joy in soul winning and telling people about Jesus. And then notice, fourthly, there is joy in our stewardship. It is revealed in our stewardship. In our stewardship. Now, here we see an interesting principle. And the Bible teaches us in Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I learned a long time ago that a cold heart and a stingy hand always go together. Always. But a warm heart and a joyful heart and a generous hand always go together. Bob Hope once said, laughter is an instant vacation, but giving is a two-week cruise with pay. In other words, there is so much more joy in giving. You just cannot outgive God. There's nothing greater than knowing that you are having the privilege of giving unto the Lord. And in stewardship, it is more blessed, it is more joyful to give than to receive. John D. Rockefeller said, the poorest man I know is the man who has nothing but money. And may we recognize there is joy in giving unto the Lord. Turn, if you would, in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Here is a spiritual church, the church of Macedonia. Paul is writing to this Corinthian letter, and he's telling about the churches of Macedonia and how joyful they had been, even though they were in poverty, and how generous they had been, even though they were in poverty. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2, it says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their, what's the word say? And their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Now, folks, think of that. Here's the equation. Poverty plus joy equals liberality. They were in poverty, but they had something in their heart. And so they said to the Apostle Paul, we beg of you to take this offering. And Paul says, I bear record that they gave beyond their power to this special offering. There was joy in their heart. And when there is joy in your heart, everyone around you will know, because there will be singing from your mouth. There will be serving with your life. There will be soul winning to those around you. And there will be stewardship or giving to others and to the work of God. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ has put in your heart. Now, my friend, think of it this morning. Think of this first of all. Have you ever received the joy of salvation? Do you know that there's joy, joy, joy down in your heart? Are you sure that Christ is your Savior? Can you remember a time when you realized you were a sinner, lost and without hope? And you said, Lord, I ask you to come into my heart and save me today. Have you experienced the joy of salvation? And by the way, thank God you can't lose salvation once you receive it as a gift from God. Do you know for sure that you're saved? Now, if you are saved, is there someone here that would say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I've not had the kind of joy you've preached about this morning. I've not had that resilient joy. I've been living under the circumstances. Wait a minute. David said in Psalm 51:12, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Do you need to pray that this morning? Lord, restore that joy to me. Lord, I want to get back to serving you and doing it with a cheerful heart. God wants you to experience that joy today. I think Jesus experienced it. And listen to this, and we're done. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, listen, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. My friend, Jesus, even while he was on the cross, had joy because he knew that at one day, very soon, he would be on the right hand of God, the Heavenly Father. And so for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. There might be something that you're enduring in your life today. May I remind you, Jesus is coming soon. And there is joy in that knowledge. And you can claim that as your very own today.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you have questions about how to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you more about what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Simply call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748.
This broadcast is a listener-supported program that exists because of prayers and donations from people just like you. If you make a donation to Daily in the Word, Pastor Chappell would like to send you a copy of his newest book, Paid in Full, as a thank you for your support of our ministry. Thank you for your help in spreading the good news throughout the world.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.